Welcome to the Link Podcast. Thanks for listening. The Link is the college and young adults gathering of Christian Life Cathedral located in Fayetteville, Arkansas. You can visit our website at linknwa.com. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
I have a question for you tonight, and here's the title of my message. What's your one thing? What's your one thing? Tonight's going to feel a little bit different, okay? It's going to be a little more back and forth, a little less me just talking to you the whole night. And so if I have your permission, can we engage a little bit? We gave you pens so that there's no excuse, okay? I want you guys to have something to write with and something to write on. If you prefer digital, that's fine. Pull out your iPad or your phone, just something, because we're going to go through a little exercise that I hope is going to clarify your one thing for 2017. You know, there's something about New Year. There's something about New Year that just revives energy in us. There's something about the New Year that says a fresh start, a clean slate, a second chance. And how many of you know we serve a God who's all about second chances? We serve a God that's all about making things new. We serve a God who's all about giving us a brand new beginning. And so I was looking up some stats, okay? Many of you channel that energy through making resolutions. Some of you couldn't care less about New Year's resolutions. I have some stats. You ready for this? 42% of you in this room don't care at all about New Year's resolutions. And so, in fact, you would say, you know what? They're just stupid. I'm probably not going to do it anyway, so why would I make a resolution? Okay, 41% of you type A's in here, you're like, oh, it's a new year. I got 17 new resolutions for the year. Here we go. And here's the crazy stat. 8% of you, by December 31st, 2017, 8% of you will have actually achieved a resolution that you put forth at the beginning of the year. And so rather than trying to capture all this energy in this new year and pointing it towards, you know, 10 ways to perform a better me, okay? I'm going to share with you a personal discipline that I've been doing for the past several years that helps me to clarify my year, my new year. And I would like to just walk through it with you. Can we do that tonight? Can we do that? The first thing that I want us to do, and this is something that I do, Efson and I got to get away over the break. We got to just clarify, get away, listen to God, and that's important. If you guys don't go on retreats and get away with God, I encourage you to do that because there's something so refreshing about that. But we were able to get away, and we were able to do what I call the one thing exercise, okay? So by the end of the night, I want us to all walk away with your one thing, okay? So here we go. The first thing that I want us to do is, first of all, I want us to clear out the distractions. Okay, if you're taking notes tonight, write that at the top of the page. First of all, we're going to clear out the distractions. Okay? We're really good at making to-do lists. We're really bad at making to-don't lists, aren't we? If I talk to many of you, you would say, oh, I'm so busy, Pastor Grant. You're going to make me do one more thing. Okay, I hear you. Before we add one more thing, let's take some things away. Let's clear out the distraction in our life. I think Jesus would agree with me. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, Jesus knew that there was something that stood in the way of a young man, the rich, you may have heard him referred to as the rich young ruler. There was something that stood in the way of him pursuing Jesus or pursuing God like Jesus desired him to pursue him. And so Jesus, in his omniscience, asked him to clear out one thing. Check out what Jesus says to him, okay? Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 21. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat on anyone. Oh, and by the way, honor your father and your mother. I mean, this guy had the right answers, didn't he? He had his to-do list and he checked it all off. He had his 10 resolutions in a row and he was ready to go, right? He said, "Teacher," the man replied, I've obeyed all these commands since I was young. Listen, I'm type A. I fulfilled all my New Year's resolutions. But looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. And Jesus said, there is still, everybody say this with me, one thing. Let's say that again. One thing you haven't done. He told him, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. A lot of people point to this verse and make the case that, oh, in order to be a Jesus follower, you got to go sell your possessions and not have any material things. I don't really think that's what Jesus was getting at. What Jesus was getting at was he knew the heart level motivation of this young man. He knew the heart level motivation of why he did what he did. He knew that he had a distraction in his life. He knew that the material things that he possessed was the very thing that was keeping him from going all in with God. And before he was able to have a fresh new start and begin following Jesus in a fresh new way, you see what Jesus said? He said, there's one thing you haven't done. And you got to take care of this one thing before you can fully go all in and follow me. What's that one thing for you? If Jesus was to walk in this room right now, the Son of God, the one we all claim to follow, if you're a seeker in here tonight and you're not really fully convinced about this whole Jesus thing, if Jesus was to walk up to you and the man you know Jesus to be, this man that you've heard about, what would he look you in the eye and what would he say? Grant, this is the one thing that you haven't done. This is the one thing that I need you to clear out. This is the one thing that is distracting you from going all in with me. Is there baggage that you're bringing from 2016 and putting in 2017? I'm trying to get used to the stage so I don't fall off, so please pray for me. I like to walk around a lot. So what's that one thing? What's that one thing? Is there something that happened in 2016 that you're like, man, that baggage, if only I could drop it off at the foot of the cross, give it to Jesus, and walk away and allow him to take care of it. If there was one thing that is distracting you from authentically, truly following Jesus, what is it? What's your one thing? I want to ask you this question, and I want you to seriously consider this, because I don't want you to just add something else to your to-do list. I want you to remove that thing that is distracting you from going all in. So here's the question I want you to ask yourself. What one thing do I need to let go of in 2017? Seriously, take some time. I want you to write it down. What's one thing that I need to let go of in 2017? It may be that sin, okay? Can we get real for just a second? We're all human beings. We all sin. Maybe there's something that you habitually do over and over and again, and you keep kicking yourself because you keep returning back to that thing. Well, I believe that Jesus wants to grace you with the ability to overcome sin. Sin no longer has power in the presence of Jesus. Is there a sin? Or maybe it's a relationship. Maybe there's a relationship in your life that you know is unhealthy, and you need to remove it from your life. What else? Maybe there's something that's even a good thing. Maybe there's a good thing, but it's distracting you from going all in and being an authentic follower of Jesus. It shouldn't take that long. This thing is probably rushing to the top of your mind, but I encourage you, write it down. Write it down. Let that be the one thing that you commit to removing in your life. Let's clear out the distraction. The second thing that we sit down and talk about and dream about at the beginning of the year is we clarify our God pursuit, okay? We clarify our God pursuit. So let me explain. So now that we've made space through committing to remove the distraction, we've now cleared up a little margin to be able to go and pursue that thing that's been in the back of our mind that we know we've been created for, that our God-given purpose, our God-given destiny, that thing that we know God is moving us towards, but we've always been so distracted by these other things that we've not been able to go all in. Well, I think 2017 is the year that this community is going to go all in. And we can look to Scripture, because I believe every man or woman of God that's ever been used in a mighty way for God's purposes to bring about His kingdom purposes here on earth, they ferociously cleared out the distraction and focused on this one thing. The Apostle Paul says it like this in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13 through 14, I, the Apostle Paul, focus on this. Everybody say it with me. One thing. One more time. One thing. Forgetting the past, clearing out the distraction, getting rid of that thing that bogged us down in 2016, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You see, Paul had clarity. He knew what his God pursuit was. He knew the very purpose for which God put him on this earth. He knew that one thing, and he didn't let anything distract him from that one thing. He said, I'm going to forget the past. I'm going to clarify where God's taking me, and I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write it down, and you know what? These Christians in Fayetteville, Arkansas in 2017 are going to be reading about my one thing. I'm preaching, y'all. Come on, give me a little something up here. What's your one thing? What one thing do you want to see accomplished in your life in 2017? Not the 10 ways to lose weight or the 14 ways to drink more water or whatever. No. What is the one thing? You shouldn't have to think about this. This is the thing that's rushing to your mind. I believe the Holy Spirit. I've been in prayer for you guys all week long. And you want to know what my prayer has been? My prayer has been, God, whenever I ask these questions, would you allow the Holy Spirit to rush this one thing to their mind? This shouldn't take a lot. This is at the top of your heart. This is the thing that your heart burns for. My heart burns to raise up the next generation of the church. My heart burns to see you guys be mobilized, to see the kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. That's the reason for which I've been placed on this earth, and I want to see that passion come alive in you. Apostle Paul, he knew his one thing. So I'm going to give you a moment and quit screaming at you. What one thing do you need to see accomplished in 2017? Write it down. It's that thing that's rushing to your mind. What's that one thing that you want to see accomplished? You just cleared out the margin. You said, this is the thing I'm removing. I'm forgetting the past, and I'm looking forward to the thing that God has called me to. What's that one thing? What's your one thing? Write it down. Type it out. It may be to start back to college. Maybe you let your grades slip a couple of semesters ago. You've been saving up some money, and you're committing to 2017. You're going to start back to college. Maybe it's to join the leadership team at Transfer. Where's my Transfer people at? Holla, holla, holla. Transfer's our youth ministry here at CLC. Maybe it's to join the VIP team at the Link. Where are my VIP people? Come on, somebody. Hey. Yeah. Maybe it's to get that new job. Maybe it's to commit to faithfully coming to church each week. I don't know what that thing is. Maybe it's that venture. Maybe God's calling you to be an overseas missionary. Maybe God's calling you to be a missionary to the marketplace. He's raising up some divine accountants to go in the marketplace and to transform the accounting department. Come on. Where are my finance people at? Holla. You see, I think this is such a powerful exercise because what, instead of listing out all these things, it clarifies things. It acts as like a light and a mirror. This is the way I like to see it. A light. This one thing exercise serves as a light. It illuminates the path that you're going to take. And it's like a mirror. You get to look at yourself and it reveals the very thing that needs to change. It's kind of like you look in the mirror, you see that zit. You're not going to leave the zit. You're going to pop the zit. You don't want the zit there anymore, right? Right? And you're probably going to put makeup over it so that your friends don't make fun of you whenever you see them later. All right? This is what this exercise does. It serves as a light and a mirror. Okay? You're never going to forget that. There you go. All right, the third thing, and this is probably one of the most important things, because this is takes it out of our own ability and puts it in God's hands, and that's this. We're going to commit it to prayer consistently. Commit it to prayer consistently. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but whenever I go to pray to God, I can be overwhelmed. Because I get bombarded by, oh my gosh, I need to pray for this person, and I need to pray for my family member, and I need to pray for my dog, and I need to pray for my aunt, and I need to pray for my church, and I need to pray for the link, and I need to pray for, and then I'm having a baby, and so I got to pray for my baby, and then like there's all this stuff that you have to feel like you pray for, but can we clarify that one thing? Can we clarify that one thing that God desires us to claim in prayer? And let me point you to a scripture. And you all probably heard this scripture. Even if you didn't grow up in church, you may have heard this before. But Psalm 27, verse 4 says this. This was the psalmist David, the passionate poet warrior who would go out and slay 10,000 men, and then he would go and write a poem. I know, kind of a complex dude, but here we go. He says, the one thing, everybody say one thing. Oh, that was good. One more time. Here we go. One thing. Oh, yes. The one thing I ask of the Lord. The thing I seek most. David made his petition to God, his prayer to God, so singular and focused that he knew exactly why he was praying. Here we go. You ready for this? The thing I seek the most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. David knew the very thing that he was going to claim in prayer, the very thing that he was going to bring before the Lord every time he entered into his presence. And maybe we can enhance our prayer life by clarifying that one thing that we're going to consistently claim in prayer in 2017. So my question to you is this. What one thing needs claimed consistently in prayer in 2017? What's that one thing that you're going to bring before the Lord? What's that one thing that you're going to offer him? What's that one thing that you've given up hope on? That you know that you, in your own power, it's not going to come to pass. But whenever you give it to God, he's going to cause it to come to pass. Because you're taking it out of your own hands and you're putting it in his. What's that one thing? What's that one thing? So we talked about clearing out the distraction. We talked about clarifying your God pursuit. And then we talked about the one thing that we're going to claim consistently in prayer. And now I want us to have a little fun with this next thing, okay? I want this to become a thing at the link, okay? I want us to be able to go up to each other and say, hey, man, what's your word? Or, hey, sister, what's your word? Okay? What's your word? I want you to ask yourself this question. Okay, first of all, rather than making 10 resolutions, I want us to ask God for one word. For one word that will serve as the theme of my year. I want us to ask for one word. Not a phrase. Okay? Not two words. One word. I want to offer just a word of caution, okay? Whenever you ask God for this one word, and whenever he gives you your one word, it will transform your life. You know that, right? Because every time you go in prayer, every time you come into his presence, this one word is going to rush to your mind this year. And it's going to cause you to take action. It's going to cause you to make positive change, okay? But here's another word of caution. You ready for this? I don't want you to just think up a word. I want you to ask God for this word. I want you to ask God for this word. Say, Father, what's the one word theme that's going to define my life in 2017? Here's the question. What will be my one word of focus for 2017? What will be my one word of focus for 2017? And I would love for us to be able to come back next week and look at somebody at the link and say, hey, what's your one word? Hey, what's your one word? What's God doing in your life? What's your one word? And I know that's kind of a big thing. So I'm going to offer you guys some clarifying questions, okay? Here's some of the questions that I ask myself to clarify what I want my one word to be or what God is going to reveal to me. The first thing is, what has God been speaking to me the past year? What area of my life does God want to take a hold of? And what word could define the next year of my journey towards Jesus? Those are some of the questions that I ask myself to define what my word needs to be. And if you feel like you need to go pray about it, I actually encourage you to go and pray about it. Think about it. Process with it. Ask God, God, would you reveal this to me? And here's what I do. Once God gives me my word for the year, I write it in a place that I come across it often. Okay? So, me personally, I have a planner that I use often. So I write it at the very beginning of my planner for 2017. Some of you guys, planners make you like cringe. So I get it. So find that place that you look at often that will help you remember your word. It may be on your bathroom mirror. Some of you guys write all over your bathroom mirror. I've even seen people make a bracelet with their word on it. You can get creative. In fact, I would love to see some creativity. I would love to see some creativity and for us to share with each other where we put our word. And in fact, I would even love to put it on social media. Can we do that? Let's throw it on social media. And I want you to do this. Whenever God gives you your word this week, okay? God's going to give you a word, right? Whenever God gives you your one word, type out, my one word for 2017 is, and then write it out. And I want you to send it to @thelink@CLC with the hashtag link2012. Sorry, 2012. That was 5 years ago. Goodness gracious. Link 2017. Goodness gracious. Woo! Living in the past. Here we go. Contradicting everything I said tonight. Well, what did Apostle Paul say? Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. All right. Thank you for your grace, guys. I felt the love. So, man, you guys are a rough crowd. So, on your seat, here's my commitment to you as your pastor. On your seat, there is a note card. Here's what I would like you to do with that note card. If you feel comfortable doing so, I'm not going to force anybody. I'm not going to, like, check at the door or anything. But if you would like to, I would like for you to write your name on the front side of the card. And on the back, I would like for you to write down the one thing that you want consistently claimed in prayer this year. And I commit to you, as your pastor, to be praying with you this year for the one thing that you want claimed consistently in prayer. At the end of the service, before you leave, there's a bucket to your left and your right. That was confusing. That was good, though, wasn't it? Did I do it right? There's buckets at the front right here. If you could drop that off in the bucket, I want to be praying with you. I want to be praying with you about the one thing that you want claimed consistently in prayer. Can we do that? Can we do that? Let me paint a picture for you guys real quick. Imagine everyone in this room. There's probably close to 100 people in this room tonight. Imagine every single one of you clearing out that junk that you thought you would never get rid of. What if you cleared out that junk that you didn't want to bring from 2016 into 2017? Imagine a community free from the junk. Imagine a community that would be free from the junk that we so often just coexist with. Imagine a community of people so clear on their God purpose, their God pursuit, that they are clear and they are running in a singular direction. That's the word. A singular direction for the entire year. And they know exactly the pursuit of their heart, the thing for which God has placed them on this planet Earth for such a time as this, in this moment. And I believe that whenever we clarify and we begin to posture ourselves and ask God for that one thing, what's that one thing, God? I believe God's going to begin to do something unique in this place. I believe God's going to begin to do something unique in each and every one of your lives. You're going to see just divine clarity begin to define your every step. And can you imagine with a community of people that is so singular and focused, the love, the justice, the mercy, the grace that could be released through you and through me in 2017. I don't know about you, but I see a generation rising up. I see a generation who clears off the junk, letting the past be the past and setting my eyes forward. Why? Because Jesus has set us free. And because Jesus is uniting us as his body to be a light to the world around us.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more information, visit our website, linknwa.com. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.